You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Central. I am flying solo today. Vince is at the Laker game tonight, Tuesday night, as I'm recording this. He's going to be home late, going out to eat with friends afterwards, and so since we didn't have anything that really needed both of us to talk about, I told him I would be happy to take this one solo so that he could enjoy his evening. So that's the plan for today. I will be alone. And honestly, I didn't know exactly what to talk about. I mean, the Dodgers lost their first spring training game today. So they're now 2-1-1. But, you know, nobody, like, the pitchers weren't really major league pitchers who pitched for the Dodgers. You know, there's little things. Maybe we could, if we had to find an episode out of just that game, we could. But I thought, I bet some of our listeners and my Twitter followers have some ideas for things to talk about. So I put out a call, and boy, howdy, did you guys answer? I've gotten way too many responses already, so I'm not going to get to everything. But I think we're just going to do almost a stream of consciousness episode. Basically, I will I'll read through some of your comments, talk about them. Eventually I'll stop and read an ad, and then I'll do an obscure former Dodger, and then I'll read through more of your comments and questions and talk about them, and we'll go till the episode ends, and then it'll be over. So that's the plan. But first I want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right. So all I said on Twitter was, hey, tell me what to talk about on the podcast tonight. I'll probably read most of the comments I got. I don't know if I'll have something to talk about all of them. May do some quick shots on some of them. Sorry if you just heard that thud. I just bumped my microphone. It happens. But yeah, so I'll do some quick thoughts on some of them. Might not have anything to say about some of them, and some of them I'll talk for a few minutes. So I'm just going to go in chronological order. Cesar Cabrera at Cesar Cabrera 97. He asked, would Kershaw's legacy be changed if the Astros didn't cheat in 2017? Yeah, there's been, I think it was Tom Verducci had a video just in the last couple of days, a lot of talk about that Kershaw threw something like 51 curves and sliders in game 5 of the 2017 World Series, and didn't get a single swing and miss, when his swing and miss rate on those pitches during the regular season was somewhere around 40%. So you would have expected roughly 20 swings and misses, and he got zero, which kind of, you know, flies in the face of both the, we didn't cheat in the World Series narrative, and the, well, maybe we were stealing signs, but it didn't really help us, that narrative too. And you know, I've said it before, if Kershaw wins game 5, he's probably a co-MVP of the World Series with Jock after his great start in game 1, and then game 5 wouldn't have even needed his great performance in game 7. But you know, Kershaw, that could have changed his postseason legacy. I've always been aboard the train of, give me Kershaw, you know, give me the best pitcher available, regardless of his previous postseason performance, because I think in general, the better the player, the better they will do in the postseason, given a big enough sample size. So I think we saw that in 2017, and Kershaw got cheated out of it. So yeah, I'm pretty ticked off about that. Alec Kirkjian says, top NL contender that can challenge the Dodgers in the playoffs, ? I talked about this when I guest spotted on Locked On Padres the other day. I don't know that there's any team that really, really scares me. Obviously, anything can happen, but on paper, the Dodgers are easily the best team in the National League. I expect that probably both wildcard teams will come out of the NL East. You've got four teams that any one of them could win it. Basically, anybody except the Marlins in the NL East could win that division. And I expect that the second and third place teams, unless they just beat up on each other so much, and you know, maybe the, I don't even know who would sneak in from the Central. The Central is also tightly packed, but among slightly less good teams, I think. But either way, I mean, we saw last year the Nationals with their pitching staff. So I guess the Nationals, if they come into the postseason with Scherzer and Strasburg and Corbin all healthy and good, I could see them being a challenger again. But all those guys are a year older now. All of them are on the wrong side of 30. So basically, there's no reason to think they won't be good. But also, it's hard for me to picture all three of them actually being great again this year. So, yeah, I think the Dodgers on paper are the easy favorites to make it to the World Series in the National League. And but anything can happen, unfortunately, as we've seen the last several years. So who's this one from? At Bernie Bean 824 wants me to talk about prospects that could be brought up during the season. You know, this year is kind of interesting because, you know, I was thinking about it. In 2017, we didn't expect Cody Bellinger to come up as early as he did, but we expected to see him that season. And then, you know, Jock had an injury that, and that's what got Cody into the big leagues. And then he played well enough that they kind of had to force Adrian Gonzalez to say, look, dude, you can't hit, you must be hurt, go on the DL. And that kind of entrenched Bellinger in the lineup. 2018, you know, Max Muncy came up. None of us expected that, but it wasn't really a surprise that there was an opening, a possibility there. And last year, you know, Matt Beatty, we had him on the podcast, so we knew he could hit. But, you know, him getting that much playing time and being that big a factor was kind of a surprise. This year, it's hard to see. I would think, you know, maybe some of these pitchers, but even then, you know, it's guys we've already seen. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Dustin May and or Tony Gonsolin start the season in the minors, and they're both technically prospects. So if you're, you know, they are prospects who could be brought up during the season, but we've seen them. You know, I don't think there's any big surprises in store for us this year, like a Max Muncy or a Matt Beatty or anything like that. Because the Dodgers, they're just good at every position. Obviously, the one thing that could change that would be injuries. You know, if they have a couple injuries in the outfield and, you know, maybe DJ Peters gets a chance. I don't know. But it's hard to see it really happening too easily. Next one, Ray from SoCal at BC_Ray27. He wants to know who would lead the Dodgers in homers, RBIs, batting average, and which starter gets the 10 wins first. I think Bellinger's going to lead the team in homers. I think Muncy will push him. I think Jock will probably not have as many as he did last year. I think Jock will be around 30 homers again. Yeah, I think the Dodgers are going to hit a lot of home runs, but I expect Belly to be in the 40s again and Muncy to be close to 40. RBIs, it's hard for me to guess because I don't care about that stat at all. But, you know, you have to think Bellinger, if he's going to be batting roughly cleanup, and, you know, I guess Muncy might steal some of those if he's batting second or third. But yeah, I expect Bellinger to be put in the most RBI situations and therefore to lead the team in RBIs. And I think Mookie Betts will lead the team in batting average. He's the one guy on the team who has actually won a batting title. So I guess I'll go with him. Next, Jim Foley at Jim Foley 100 asks, what happens if Gavin Lux doesn't win the everyday second base job? I don't know that that's really a possibility. I think it's his to lose. I think it'd have to be really bad or get hurt here in spring training. Because, yeah, I think they have him not just penciled in, but penned in as the starting second baseman, Muncy at first base. And so something really crazy would have to happen. And if something crazy happens, then by definition, I have no idea what would happen. So I don't know. I guess Muncy would play second and Matt Beatty is the starting first baseman. I don't know. But I think Lux is pretty entrenched as the second baseman this year. Let's take a break. I'll come back and do some more of these. But first, I want to talk about Arizona. It's spring training. If you haven't been to Arizona yet, you know, hopefully you're getting out there this weekend. I have some Twitter friends who are going this weekend. I know it's a great place to go for spring training. I'm going down in 2.5 weeks and I can't wait. I'm still trying to justify to myself taking my boys out of school and taking them with me, but I don't know if I'll succeed in that. But, you know, it's beautiful weather. It's baseball. There's 15 teams, 10 stadiums. So 75 degree temperatures, just beautiful place and time to watch baseball. If you like hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, jet skiing, pretty sunsets, whatever you like to do in the outdoors, Arizona can do it for you. The Grand Canyon is not too far away. A couple other, you know, must-see destinations like that. breweries. I'm not into that, but you might be. Great restaurants. Just a ton of things to do in Arizona. So it's a quick drive from California. Get yourself over there in the next few weeks to check out the Dodgers in spring training. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining and keep it locked on Dodgers. All right, it's time for our obscure former Dodger of the day. You may have noticed my theme recently. I've been doing guys who didn't play for the Dodgers for very long. I've actually done some play index searches on Baseball Reference looking for guys who only played in one game for the Dodgers. And I came across a fun one today, and it is Chuck Connors. If you're an old TV buff, you know Chuck Connors as the actor who played the Rifleman on the TV show The Rifleman. He played Lucas McCain on The Rifleman. Before he became an actor, he was a baseball player. He played one game for the 1949 Brooklyn Dodgers. He had one at bat, and he got out. So his line with the Dodgers was 0-for-1. That's an OPS plus of negative 100 if you're keeping score at home. And then 2 years later, he did play semi-regularly, got 214 plate appearances with the Cubs. Didn't do much better, had a 585 OPS, which is a 56 OPS plus. So he was not much of a hitter, not much of a defender. He played first base and not notably well there. And so then he said, I've had it with this baseball stuff. I'm super handsome. I'm going to go be a TV star. And so he was. His full name was Kevin Joseph Aloysius Connors, but he went by Chuck. And yeah, he ended up playing on the Rifleman for many years. He also played in the NBA before he was with the Dodgers. He played one season, I think, with the Celtics in like 1946, 47, somewhere around there. So he played in the NBA, then Major League Baseball, and then became a TV star. So athletic, good-looking, kind of the total package, a lot of the ways you would describe me, I guess. He was a little taller than me. He was 6'5", I'm only 6'3", and he was 190 pounds, and I'm roughly twice that. So, you know, we had some differences too, but Chuck Connors is your obscure former Dodger of the day, even though he's only obscure as a baseball player and not as a person. All right, moving on, let's do some more of these things you guys wanted to talk about. Ben Podagrax at BPOBBot. Sure. He wanted me to talk about Dodgers players who've pitched in games but are not pitchers. You know, there's Russell Martin, there's Skip Schumacher, and there's Jeff Hamilton. I know Jeff Hamilton pitched in a game. I liked him a lot when I was a kid because his name was Jeff and so was mine. And I remember him pitching in one game. I'm sure there have been plenty of guys who have done it. I like position players pitching. I think it's gotten too much lately. And, you know, it's fun when Russell Martin comes in and actually pitches well. I actually don't like it when the opposing team brings in a position player to pitch because I feel like any accomplishments are sullied. Like in game 3 of last season when D-backs brought in whatever that backup catcher was to pitch. And I think Bellinger homered off of him. I don't remember who else, but yeah, the Dodgers blew him out. And it's just not quite as much fun. But, you know, when they do well, it is fun to watch. But that's probably all I have to say about that. Next one from Victor at Victor Medell. What do the Dodgers need to do right now to be the favorite to win the World Series in 2020? They've done a lot. The main question mark remaining is how the pitching staff is going to be. And so far, I've liked what I've seen. Obviously, we'll see Kershaw and Buehler later this week in spring training games. I assume we'll see David Price sometime soonish. We've seen Kenley Jansen. I think I've got a couple Jansen questions, so I'll talk more about him in a minute. I don't think the Dodgers need to make any moves right now. They just need to kind of figure out the best roster to put out there and then spend the next few months figuring out what needs they have at the trade deadline and address them then. So nothing right now, but there's probably still work to be done and there's time to get it done. This one's a good one. Jay Dodger Girl at Jay Dodgers Girl. She asks, by having our pitchers utilizing driveline technology to help with their mechanics, how do you foresee that helping our bullpen stay healthier throughout the year? Also, for those who don't know what driveline is, maybe break it down on how it helps pitchers. Driveline is really cool. Actually, Trevor Bauer is one of the pioneers of using driveline. I know Trevor Bauer is not super popular because of his personality, but his commitment to his pitching craft is almost unparalleled. And if you haven't read it yet, I highly recommend The MVP Machine by Ben Lindbergh and Travis Sochik. It's a great book. It's good on audiobook too. If you have Audible, it's a good listen. That's actually how I read it, because my son stole my copy when I got it because he's reading it. And so I listened to it. It's a great book. And they talk a lot about Driveline. It's kind of funny because Trevor Bauer is one of the main characters in it, and they do address some of his less savory personality quirks. And also they talk a lot about the Astros, and it has a little bit different meaning now that we know that the Astros were cheating all that time. But it does talk a lot about Driveline and what they do there and how they can help. You know, they're kind of most known for their weighted ball program, where pitchers actually throw heavier balls and it helps increase their arm strength and their velocity. But they have a lot of other things too. Clayton Kershaw talked a little bit about that. I'm not enough of an expert on Driveline to really give a good summary here, but I definitely can recommend The MVP Machine. I've read the whole thing and loved it, and I plan on reading it again once my son is done with my hard copy. I want to read it with my eyeballs and not just my earballs. So, next one, at 805 Roe Jr. asks, where in the world is Tolzy San Diego? Where's Andrew Tolz? Unfortunately, we don't know. All we know is that he's not at Camelback Ranch, and as far as we can tell, maybe he'll never be back. I wish I knew more about Andrew Tolz's situation. I feel bad for the guy. I hope the best for him. And I have no idea what the answer is, though. Jason at Mounties777 asks, who is the backup catcher? I think the answer is Austin Barnes. I don't think there's any reason to think it won't be Barnesy. The only reason I could see that it wouldn't be Barnes is if the Dodgers do make a trade this spring and somebody, you know, if somebody else's catcher gets hurt and so they need Austin Barnes, I could see the Dodgers trading him and then either re-signing Austin or Russell Martin, or going with Keibert Ruiz or Rocky Gale even at the beginning. I don't know that Ruiz is ready for the big leagues. And so if they were to trade Barnes, it would have to be somebody like Martin, who isn't currently in the organization, or Rocky Gale, who can't currently hit. But, you know, for now it's Austin Barnes, and no reason to think it won't be. Roe Jr. also asks, who are the guest instructors for the Dodgers? I know Utley and Ethier have been there. Obviously, Oral Hershiser has been there. I don't know who all. I haven't paid a lot of attention this spring to who the guest instructors are, who's been there. But I assume it's most of the usual suspects. Ray Villa at Understore Kingston Estate. He wants me to talk about how great Greg Miller could have been. That's a callback to my guest spot on the Very Weird Fantasy podcast. We were talking about the Dodgers fantasy prospects, and we ended up talking about old Dodger prospects who never made it, including one guy named Greg Miller. And that was Josh's, a guy he used to be really high on. And I knew nothing about the guy. So, but I'm sure it could have been great. Should have been great. Austin at More or Less 996 asks, should our official mascot be a Dodger dog? No. B. Holmes at B. Holmes says, asks, who is the new coach that will make the most difference this season? I don't know about making a difference, but I'm really excited to see what Mark Pryor can do. I like the approach they took with Mark Pryor, having him come in and kind of learn under Rick Honeycutt for a couple of years and, you know, make this seamless transition into being the pitching coach. So almost it's what I'm hoping for from Pryor is that he doesn't make much of a difference and that we barely notice it, because that's kind of the ideal situation. Honeycutt was here for a long time and is a great pitching coach. And so I'm hopeful that Mark Pryor can kind of just fill in seamlessly there. So it's kind of the opposite of making a difference, but that's what I'm hoping for. David Contreras at David Koo asks, how long of a leash will AJ Pollock have this year before it's time to move on? There's a lot of competition out there for innings. That's true. There is a lot of competition. I do think right now there's a pretty obvious role for Pollock, which is as a platoon partner with Jock Peterson. In a way, that's kind of basically saying his leash has been pulled back already, because they definitely didn't sign him thinking he would get 250 plate appearances a year. But, or if he did, it would be because of injury. But, you know, that seems like the most likely role for him right now, as the roster is currently constructed, is Pollock platooning with Jock. And so I expect him to thrive in that role. He hit lefties pretty well last year. He plays decent defense if he's not being asked to play center. And so I think he and Jock can combine to be one of the best left fielders in baseball, just with two heads. Next one, at Rudy Monfort. This is an interesting one, and I think there's another one kind of touching on this too. How about the fact that we're giving the Astros all this heat about cheating, and we just made a trade for Mookie Betts, who played for the Red Sox, who are also waiting on penalties for cheating? I'm all for the Betts trade, but seriously, how does that make people feel? And then we had a similar one from, and you guys sent me a lot of stuff, at Blinding Wave. It says, I know they say it went over well, but how do you think the Dodgers felt with Mookie addressing the team at spring training when his old team is still under investigation for possible cheating? And yeah, this is a pretty good question. Interesting concept going on here, because we don't know what the Red Sox did. We don't know which players were involved in it. We don't know. So as of right now, we don't have any idea if Mookie Betts cheated. We don't know if he looked the other way as his teammates cheated, or if he had no idea that somebody was cheating. It could have been any one of those. And we don't expect that the Red Sox cheating was quite as egregious as the Astros. I'm pretty firmly on record as saying cheating is cheating. And so, but I also believe in nuance, and I think, stealing a pack of gum is different than stealing a car and should be punished differently. And also are different indicators of a person's character. And so my personal position is to withhold judgment until I actually know what Mookie Betts did, if anything. And then I'll have to decide how to feel. I've been accused by some Astros fans of being a hypocrite because of that, but I feel like learn the facts before you judge is a pretty defensible stance to take, and that's the stance I'm choosing to take here. I hope that Mookie Betts didn't cheat, isn't dishonest. And until we know more, I'm just going to continue to hope that. And then we'll see once the report comes out. We did find out on Tuesday that the report probably isn't going to be out this week like we thought. I mean, we've been expecting it for a couple of weeks now. And so who knows when that's going to come down. But we'll just have to wait and see when the time comes. I'm sure Vince and I will have plenty to say about that when it happens. Okay, at KVNLCO asks, wants me to talk about what the stadium will look like after the renovations. I've seen is the same mock-ups as you guys. I think it looks cool. I like that they kept the character, but adding in some cool features. I'm excited to be able to walk around behind the pavilions and still watch the game when you're back there. I'm excited to just go with my kids and just explore the stadium. It's one of my favorite places, and I'm excited to learn all the new nooks and crannies. He also asked what NL team could compete with the Dodgers. We covered that. Will the Dodgers trade for Mike Clevinger and Francisco Lindor? I doubt it. I think Clevinger is more likely than Lindor. I expect Corey Seager to be really good this year. Clevinger is a guy who obviously the Dodgers could go for a frontline starting pitcher. They have plenty of starting pitching, but you never turn down a frontline starter like that. Who's taking the ball opening day as a starting pitcher? We just said a couple days ago, we were pretty sure it would be Buehler. Yesterday we talked about the fact that Kershaw and Buehler are both throwing this weekend. And I don't think we talked about mentioning the fact that Kershaw is going a day before Buehler to start spring training and what that could mean as far as opening day goes. And Dave Roberts, a reporter asked Dave Roberts basically that question, and Roberts said, read into it whatever you want. And so maybe this is an indicator that Kershaw is going to be the opening day starter. It doesn't really matter much at this point. Kershaw doesn't still have his streak of starts going, but he still, has the number of opening day starts. So that's meaningful. Buehler is, I think, expected to be the best pitcher on the team this year. I don't think anybody's feelings are hurt either way. So I guess I'm still guessing Buehler, but this order this weekend does give me pause to think maybe it will be Kershaw. How many wins will the Dodgers have? These are all questions still from KVNLCO. 110, sure. And the fifth who's going to be the fifth starter, either Alex Wood or Julio, whichever one isn't the fourth starter. David at Jarbes Bleed Blue. He asked, should we be as excited about Josiah Gray as we were with Dustin May last year? I'm excited to see Josiah Gray pitch today. As you're listening to this, in a couple hours, he'll be pitching against the Angels. I'm excited to see it. I watched him pitch in person in the minors last year. Josiah Gray, from everything, I'm going to be talking more about him on Friday's episode with Keith Law. He had his top 100 prospects come out, and Josiah Gray was on that list, so we'll be talking more about it. I'm excited to see it. He's interesting because he doesn't have an overpowering fastball, but he has a dominant fastball. And I'm excited to talk to Keith Law about why that is and what makes it so. But yeah, I am pretty darn excited about Josiah Gray in the next year or two. Maybe not for 2020 making much of an impact, but maybe. Who knows? Bets to LA at D David as anyway. It's got some D's and some V's and stuff in his username. He wants me to talk about Kenley Jansen's comeback season. We had a few Kenley Jansen ones. Also, Eric Thurman at Eric E-Ride wants me to talk about Kenley Jansen's 98-mile-an-hour cutter. I don't know if we'll get a 98-mile-an-hour cutter, but I expect to see Kenley throwing 95, 96 and having some good movement. And, you know, that, or I guess I should say I hope for it. After his first appearance the other day, that seems somewhat reasonable. And if he can do that, he could be back to being dominant like he was in 2017 and earlier when he was maybe the best reliever in baseball. This one's interesting. Steve-O at Steve-O-6-3-2-6-4-6-2-8. I may have gotten that right. May not. I don't know. But he asked, will David Price be the one to finally teach Clayton Kershaw a changeup he feels comfortable with and reignite the second phase of 22's career? Clayton Kershaw with a changeup. You know, I've said it before, my number one dream in life is for Clayton Kershaw to start throwing 95 again. But number two, and pretty close number two, is Kershaw developing a good changeup. David Price does have a very good changeup, and it was, you know, when he had a great postseason in 2018, it was his changeup was a lot of the reason for that. And so I hadn't given much thought to that specifically about David Price helping Kershaw. I don't know if he is or not. We do know that Kershaw went to Driveline and did some stuff. We've seen Kershaw experimenting with the changeup. So I hope that I assume Kershaw is using whatever resources he has available. And one of those will be the fact that he's teammates with David Price. And if that helps him develop that changeup, that's awesome. Doug Fredrickson at DBFred13 asks, what can we expect from Mitchell White in 2020? Not much in the big leagues, I don't think. You know, he struggled a little bit in the minors last year. I expect to see Mitchell White more in 2021. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a trade chip in July, you know, depending on how he does the first half of the season in the minors, but I don't expect him to be a big impact for the Major League Dodgers in 2020. Back to Eric Thurman. He asked about Kenley Jansen's cutter. He also wants me to talk about Walker Buehler's upcoming no-hitter. Which one, Eric? Which one of the three that he throws in 2020 do you want me to talk about? Kershaw's spiritual awakening. I don't know that he needs to be awakened spiritually, but sure. Is Trastros the best nickname? I don't know. I just don't say the name of that Houston team much anyway, except to say they're cheating cheaters. I definitely don't think they're worthy of me using creativity to find them a nickname. He wants me to talk about the Hot Cheetos Elote Stadium snack. Never had it. Never will. It doesn't appeal to me. And the All-Star Game. I'm excited about that. Just making travel plans with my family today, actually, to when we're going to, because I'm taking my boys down to Justin Turner's baseball camp in Simi Valley the week before the All-Star Game. And then we'll travel to Arizona to visit family, meet up with my wife and daughter there, and then drive back to Southern California for Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game. And I am pretty darn excited about that. I've wanted to go to the Home Run Derby for several years now. And once we found out it was coming to Dodger Stadium, we knew it was something we had to be at. So can't wait for that. LAD burner account asks, how will the Dodgers manage playing time at any position? I think left field is going to be our only real platoon situation here. Obviously, the Dodgers believe in resting their players more than a lot of teams do. And when you've got guys like Kike and Chris Taylor and Matt Beatty who could play multiple positions sitting on your bench, you know, you can give guys days off. And basically, with the five man bench, you know, obviously one guy's a backup catcher, but then you have four guys, and if they can all play multiple positions, you can give pretty much anybody a day off anytime you need to. So I do think the Dodgers will still, I expect Bellinger to play in almost every game, but I think he'll probably only start 150-ish games. Mookie Betts, you know, both of them, somewhere between 150, 155 games, they'll still get, you know, 1 or 2 days off a month. And some of the lesser guys, Justin Turner, obviously might need more time off. Corey Seager depends on his health. So a lot of things at play, but I think their goal will be to have everybody rested and in peak physical condition come October. Ryan Hansen at Ryan Hansen 24 asks, what is the best spicy chicken sandwich and tacos near Dodger Stadium? Unfortunately, I am worthless when it comes to recommending food places in LA. I've never lived in LA. I've never lived near LA. I grew up 75 miles from LA, and most of my time in LA is spent at Dodger Stadium and not eating near Dodger Stadium. So unfortunately, I don't have any good recommendations for you there. I do know there's a Jack in the Box on Sunset, but that's probably not what you're looking for. Saul at Saul 2461 says that Kike, Taylor, Jock, Stripling, and Ferguson are all dead weight and two of them must go. I don't agree for the most part. I think they all have their limitations, but I think they're all going to play important roles on this team. Like we talked about yesterday, I wouldn't be surprised to see Kike or Taylor traded, but I don't think that's likely either. Yeah, I don't think any of them are dead weight. I think they're going to play important roles. Chad Dotson at Chad Dotson 6 just says Steve Garvey should be in the Hall of Fame. I like Chad and respect him and respectfully disagree. I like Steve Garvey a lot too. But I think Steve Garvey is a guy who maybe his more advanced recent stats don't quite do him justice. You know, Baseball Reference has him at a WAR of 38.1, which would be one of the worst players in the Hall of Fame. I don't think that necessarily captures his overall value to the team. But the fact is, he didn't get on base a ton. He had a .329 on base percentage. And I know we didn't value walks the way that we do now back in the 70s. But I do think that people knew that getting on base was better than getting out. And when you have a .329 on base percentage, that means you're getting out 67.1% of the time, and that's a lot. And so it's hard to see, and, you know, he didn't have a ton of power. You know, he had a couple 20 home run seasons, but I mean, he was just kind of a good solid player, got a lot of hits. But even the years he had 8 years in a row that he got MVP votes, and I don't think he was even the best player on the Dodgers most of those years. I know the year he won the MVP award, he wasn't the best player on the Dodgers even, but he drove in 111 runs and batted .312, and people liked that. So I love Steve Garvey, a lot of fond memories of Steve Garvey, and I don't agree that he should be in the Hall of Fame, sorry. George Wasserman asks, has Jansen's cutter regained its movement? I think it has. Obviously, we've only seen him once, and who knows if it will stay regained, but it looked really good the other day. Will Kershaw hit 93-plus this year? I think he will hit it. I don't think he'll sit there, but again, we don't know what he did at Driveline. We don't know what he's been working on, and so I am very, very intrigued to see what Kershaw can do. And David Price's ceiling, can he have a Verlander-esque resurgence? I don't know if it can be Verlander-esque, but I expect David Price to be a good, solid, you know, one of the best number three starters in baseball this year. And anything more than that, I think, would be a bonus. Jack at JG Baseball 20 asks, who's the biggest sleeper on this team? The top talent gets a lot of love, but who's going to be a breakout and a force for the Dodgers this year? I don't know if they have a sleeper. I don't know if this roster is capable of having a sleeper. I think Gavin Lux is going to battle for the Rookie of the Year award. I think everybody's going to play well, but everybody's expected to play well. So, unfortunately, I don't think there is a sleeper. Saul, I think we had Saul earlier. He asks, who will be traded by the start of the season? And he thinks Stripling or Ferguson to the Yankees. With word that Luis Severino now has to have Tommy John surgery, yeah, the Yankees might be in the market for a starting pitcher. And so maybe they do turn to a guy like Ross Stripling or even Caleb Ferguson. I don't know what the... I wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees start come calling since the Dodgers do have 850 starting pitchers. But I hope that if they do come calling, the Dodgers demand something good for Ross Stripling because Ross is a good pitcher. So, Wisam at Hezerajinikajan, sure, says, talk about the Dodgers farm system. So excited we have more room to add at the deadline or keep us competitive for years to come. Ruiz, Gray, Peters, Cartaya, Estevez, and so much more. The Dodgers farm system, I've said it before that there's two reasons you want to have a good farm system. One of the reasons is they can come up and be good major leaguers for you. And the other reason is it gives you guys to trade when you need to make trades. And so I do think, the Dodgers are going to identify some needs by July and they're going to make some trades. And they have the farm system to make any trades they need to. And that's a great situation to be into or to be in. Man, these things keep coming in even since I started recording, so I may not get to them all because we are already way longer than we should have been. But I'm having fun, so hopefully you guys are having fun. If you have to listen to the rest of this on your way home from work today, that's not the end of the world. Dan Beachump at Dan_Beachump13 says, the starting rotation and all hitter spots have been figured out for a while. All that's left is the bullpen. Still, it seems the Dodgers have that kind of figured out too, unless there's a surprise in camp. And yeah, there's not a lot of battles going on. We basically know what the roster is going to be, assuming there's no injuries. The bullpen is kind of the one interesting part when you have guys like May and Gonsolin who could be great in the bullpen, but the Dodgers see them as starters long-term, so maybe they go to the minors to be starters in AAA until they're needed in the big leagues. There's a lot of different possibilities there. I was struck the other day at how bad Dylan Flora was in the second half of last season. I had kind of forgotten. I knew that he wasn't as good as he had been in the first half, but he was really bad. He had a 0 ERA well into May, and he ended up with an ERA of like 4.24 or something. So that shows you how bad he was in the second half. There are some questions to answer in the bullpen. They have all the pieces. It's just a matter of how they're going to put them together. Sam Bishop at Sam_Bishop57 was apparently watching the game on Tuesday because he says apparently Dennis Santana is named after Dennis Rodman. Start with that. Tim Neverett and Rick Monday were talking about that when Dennis Santana was pitching on Tuesday. What they didn't mention is that he's also named after Anfernee Hardaway. His name is Dennis Anfernee Santana. His dad was a big basketball fan. I personally find the Anfernee Hardaway bit more interesting because Dennis is at least a name. Anfernee is not. And so if you have a name Anfernee, everybody knows who you're named after. If your name is Dennis, nobody would guess, oh, he must be named after Dennis Rodman. It's definitely interesting that this Dominican dad was so obsessed with basketball that he named his son after two basketball players, and then that guy became a big league baseball player. Pat Dwyer at The Real PJ Dwyer asks my take on the Dodgers' new home run seats at Dodger Stadium. I think they're gimmicky and expensive, and I think people will enjoy sitting in them. It's not quite the Green Monster in Boston, but I think it'll be a fun place. I may sit there one time, maybe. Although I like my season tickets, I like their location. But it's a cool little gimmick, and I don't have strong feelings one way or the other. Sparky at Blue Ervo asks, who's our fifth starter to start the season? When do we call up May? Wood or Julio, whichever one's not the fourth starter, will be the fifth starter. And I do think Dustin May starts in AAA and ends up in the big leagues for good by the beginning of June, I'll say. Russell Osgathorpe, one of my best friends in the world at RJ Osgathorpe, wants me to break down the effect pitch stealing had on Kershaw's postseason legacy. I talked a little bit about that already. I'm still mad at about it. And thanks, Russ, for bringing that up. Somebody at Step Into the Box wants me to talk about why Lux isn't a sure thing at second. I do think he is. So I guess I talked about that. And the last one is from a Diamondbacks fan. And I will not say his name. And I will not read what he said, sullying the good name of Clayton Kershaw. So you can bite me, Big Papa. I guess I did say his name. Big Papa, bite me. All right. That wraps it up. This is a long episode. I won't apologize because I hope you enjoyed it. Vince and I will be back tomorrow, and then Friday's episode will be me talking to Keith Law about his top 100 prospects list, the five Dodgers who made that list, the one Dodger who made his honorable mentions, and a few other guys who didn't make either list. Should be a good time. Keith Law is one of the premier prospect experts. Really good dude. I like Keith Law a lot. I've met him a few times in person, and so I'm excited to talk to him. I'm actually recording that interview around the time you're listening to this, but it will be Friday's episode. So that's the plan for the rest of the week. Please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, please subscribe there so other people can find us. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. You can email us, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text anytime you want. The number is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you will be here with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you later.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all hard. All heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!